lack of food and the water until I became very weak because I was not eating, I had no money. And so it turned to be a very difficult situation for me, going to Nairobi, not knowing where I was spending the night, not knowing the kind of job that I was looking for. Arrived in Nairobi, everybody looked at me like a guest, and therefore I went also to the residential houses. I started knocking, looking for a job.
What happens when a six-year-old boy in Kenya is abandoned by his family and left to raise himself on the streets? Mully is no ordinary rags-to-riches tale. It's the true story of Charles Mully, whose unlikely rise to wealth and power leaves him questioning his own existence, searching for the meaning of life. Against the better judgment of family and community, Mully sets out to enrich the fate of orphan children across Kenya. Jeopardizing his own life and the security of his family, Charles Mully risks everything and sets in motion a series of events that is nothing short of astonishing. Charles M. Mully is one of Africa's most respected humanitarians as the father of the world's largest family with more than 12,000 children he has rescued. Today, Dr. Charles Mully is our guest on this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint. Dr. Mully, welcome to Memphis and welcome to Bot Radio Network.
Thank you so much. I really am so delighted to be with you and to be able to speak to our people in America.
Today's story is about a movie that's going to be released here in the Memphis area. We'll have details at the end of our show where our listeners can go and see Mully the movie. But October 3rd through the 5th, a limited presentation of Mully the movie will be coming out. We'll be giving you details, too, how you can go and see the movie trailer and help promote the movie on your social media. But you and your wife, Esther, have the world's largest family, I understand.
Oh, yes. We have a greatest number of children more than ever in another place, and we rejoice in the Lord as we serve the most vulnerable children, especially orphans, as well as also our children who have been abandoned from the street and everywhere. And so we are the proud parents of all these children.
Well, Dr. Mully, I would like to kind of back up with your story and just discover what exactly was happening in your life at 6 years old that you were abandoned by your family.
Truly, I was abandoned by my family. Nobody was a child. I really suffered like another child, without parents, without food, without proper guidance and shelter, clothing and love. And I felt really abandoned and remained in that kind of life for quite a long time, over 10 years.
What, did you just wake up one day, Dr. Mully, and discover your family was gone and had left you?
Absolutely. When I woke up and then found nobody around me, I never saw my mom. I didn't see my father. I did not know where they went. So I cried, and I'd be in a destitution kind of life.
How did you deal with those feelings of isolation and loneliness? I'm sure anger, too, as such a small boy.
I was very angry. I was bitter so much about my own father, and also those people who rejected me, who even never gave me food. And of course, I got some food, little food to eat, but, you know, abuse by the people and without love. And that kind of life was so devastating. And I felt like, yes, I was nobody's child. At the age of 16 years, as I struggled all and every day for food and even for education, it was so hard because I was so much involved in child labor and also the kind of life also begging.
So you were literally just begging off the streets?
Oh, yes, I did that into the villages, in the villages and anywhere where I could get any woman who could really give me something to eat. It was really hard.
How did you wind up in, I think another family member took you in for a period of time who was also struggling to survive and provide for her children?
Yeah, I remember there were a few of those kind of people. They were struggling very poor, extremely very poor. They could not even afford to feed their own children. And me staying with them again, it was also a burden to them. And this was a kind of life I lived until when I was 16 years old. And that time I was desperate. And then I thought, why should I live this kind of life full of hopelessness, full of anger and bitterness? And I said, I would rather take my life away. And then I was about to commit suicide. And during that time, somebody came across a young man older than me by then. I was 16 years old, and then I followed him. He took me to a church, and where there were young people who were singing, jumping with joy. Me, I had nothing. And therefore, after a short while, the pastor came in with a message of forgiveness, a message of reconciliation. And then he pointed out that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this world up from heaven to give love and, of course, to forgive all the world. And therefore, whoever gives his life then could be not condemned.
Dr. Mulley, exactly how old were you at the time you heard the message of Jesus Christ and this pastor shared with you Christ's love?
I was 16 years old.
So at 16 years old, the life of Christ became real to you, and you started understanding that there was someone who did definitely care about you, that cared about you so much that he died for you. What started changing in your life as a result of you discovering the love and the grace of Jesus Christ?
Mostly when the word came that forgiveness of sin, and also from John chapter 3, verse 16 or so, that is, God loved the real world, and that he gave his own begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And there, I felt like the message was mine when he spoke about the forgiveness of our sin. And therefore, I remembered that I was very bitter about my own father. I had really completely gone down through the wall. And then I gave my life. The message was about me. And from that time, I got the joy of the Lord. And I started reading also the Bible by the age of 16 years. And thereafter, sometimes, I decided to walk 85 kilometers to the city of Nairobi to look for it.
Now, before we go there, so you're saying that because of this new life in Christ, you will begin to develop a forgiveness for your father for having abandoned you. Or did that come later in life?
Yeah, that came immediately because I thought how bitter I was. And as I was also preparing, one day when I became old, I was always thinking, I would fight my father. And because the anger, you know, the sorrows that always rebuked and provoked my life. And then I said to God, yes, here I am, and I want to really to be forgiven. And the truth of forgiveness, when I was forgiven, I thought it was also a proper time for me to reconcile with my parents. However, they were not there. I had never seen them for over 10 years, but I felt something that I needed to reconcile with them and forgive them for what they did to me.
So you were able to reconnect with your parents?
Yes, I was connected to my parents spiritually. However, later on, when I had started to walking, and then I had to go to search for them, and I got them. And when I got them, I was, of course, working, and we were reconciled. And I told them that I was completely, really forgiven them. That also, of course, gave me a new chance to have hope in God, and to be able to pray for my parents for change. My father, when I found him, he was, again, very drunkard person. He was very poor. He had worn torn clothes, and even my mother, they were not really working where they were living. And so later, then, after having gotten a job, I was able to bring them and then to where I was living, and together with my family, I also built a nice house for them, mom and dad and my own 9 brothers and one sister. And so I took, you know, over the responsibility of my father, because still he was not a Christian, but I forgave him. And through that, several years later, he gave his life to Jesus Christ.
Oh, my.
the whole family.
That is so exciting. I want to just kind of walk through this. You've been sharing pieces as we were talking. Got an outline here I kind of want to follow as we talk about your journey here. Now, where did you get the idea to walk to Nairobi, which is the capital of Kenya, and how long did it take you to get there?
Indeed, in the village, people were very poor. When I thought of my future, I felt like, yes, I must go to the city to look for green pasture. I walked 85 kilometers all the way to the city of Nairobi, and there I arrived, and I didn't have money, I didn't have shoes, and I was desperate.
So you walked barefoot for 85 kilometers to get to Nairobi?
Yes, and this I covered within 3.5 to 4 days, because I was also running. I loved running, you know, cross-country and miles, 10,000 miles, and it was, you know, my habit. And so I went, you know, walking, running, but what was the worst thing that I faced was lack of food and water, until I became very weak because I was not eating, I had no money. And so it turned to be a very difficult situation for me, going to Nairobi, not knowing where I was spending the night, not knowing the kind of job that I was looking for. Arrived in Nairobi, everybody looked at me like a guest, and therefore I went also to the residential houses. I started knocking, looking for a job either.
Let me ask you this, Dr. Moley, were you considered like an outcast too? Because isn't tribal life in Africa very, obviously traditional, but very considered the way people accept each other? So you coming from an outlying area into Nairobi, were you considered, since you weren't part of the Nairobi population, were you considered an outcast?
You know, in Nairobi, it's a city like New York or like Dallas, many all kinds of walks of life, people from different tribes, races, Asian, European, and so forth. And so, you know, the life, the culture in the cities is so different from in the villages, where you define that they would really consider some few things. And therefore, they looked at me like a guest, person who had no meaning at the
right,
making nonsense, you know, when begging and trying to ask, please help me. Yeah, that was something that was troubling many people when I was walking.
So you had obviously had many, many obstacles to overcome once you got to Nairobi.
Oh, yes. It was like, it was even better that I was remaining in the village. Because in Nairobi, nobody could care. And so that's why I decided also to get out of the downtown and need the journey to the residential places where I could find anything, solace, or anybody who could really help me.
And you finally found someone who offered you a job, gave you an opportunity to have work. The first job. Do you remember the first job you got?
Oh, yes. The first job, I will never forget about the first job. When I knocked, the woman came out of the house and then asked me, why are you knocking the door so hard? You are disturbing us here. Then I said to her, kindly, please, may you understand that I'm feeling so hungry. I've never had any food, no water. I've never rested. I have no shelter. I'm looking for a job, any job. And then she asked me, what kind of a job? Through mercy and through kindness, God used her to open a house. And when I entered inside, then she gave me food, and thereafter gave me a job cleaning house, washing dishes, as well as also cutting grass outside, weeding flowers. All these kind of work I did for 6 months before her husband put me into another position where, you know, he was a CEO of a big company where they used to plant pineapples, coffee, and other crops. And therefore, I was given some supervision work to supervise workers, because they had over 1,000 people who were working there. And so I was the supervisor. I was promoted, I worked so hard, and then I decided later to buy a car.
And that's where the story even gets more exciting, because you worked. And you know, Dr. Molly, your story reminds me so much of the life of Joseph in the Bible, and how he said to his brothers, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And through this whole process of distress and poverty and no water and food, I mean, I've never been in the place that you've been. I can't even imagine. But even there, my dear brother, God was looking after you and caring for you.
Indeed, he did more than I expected. And, you know, having also read by then Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Of course, the gospel was being fulfilled. Even I did not know exactly what was happening, but God was in great favor with me, as well as even his great love. And as I continued to trust him by faith in him, he continued again to exalt and to lift me up in a very special way.
Well, and he did. I mean, in an incredible way, you saved your money and you bought a taxi cab. You worked so diligently, and eventually you were able to start Mullyways Agency Limited, a transportation company that became a multi-million dollar business. Now, did you ever dream that an abandoned child living in the streets of Africa would meet this kind of success?
Really, I had no clue. I did not imagine, as I also rose up to become distributor of oil products, as well as gas, tires, motor components and accessories, as well as also insurance, real estate.
So your company was very diversified.
Oh, yes, it was. And they had workers and their managers and their directors, and so the worker grew, and then I became a wealth man in Kenya and also in Africa, and also involved also in the management of a church where I was the leader of a big church. And I was so much honored to be the leader of many people. So,
now, Dr. Molly, I do want us to get into the part where God began to get your attention as to your great success, and yet there was a contrast of the people that were still living and do live today in dire poverty in Kenya, the same way you grew up.
Yes, and there was a time when I also visited the city of Nairobi from a village, but I went to the city of Nairobi. My car was stolen there by street boys, and therefore having reported the matter to the police station, something that I had now like forgotten about where I came from, God reminded me that was way 1986, April, when my car got lost and it was stolen by these street boys. Always when I saw street boys, when I saw children crying, I saw myself in their eyes. And then I cried. And for 3 years, from 1986 to 1989, that is when the Lord revealed complete to me that he wanted me to be the father to the fatherless. And one day I became sick and I was in my office. And then I decided to go home in my house and be with my wife. And when I went down the first floor.
Now, at first, when you came and shared some of the changes of your heart and how you wanted to change some direction of the way you were conducting your business, your family wasn't on board right away, were they? How did your wife Esther support your news?
When I came home and then I shared with Esther about it and the children, they were like desperate. They could not believe. They were sad about the news and they were not for it. And so it went on, even to friends and pastors where I used to go to church, and they said, "No, you cannot do this." My wife was told by the pastor and the church elders, "Please take your husband to see a doctor because he's getting mad."
So they thought you were crazy.
He is crazy. And I said that if I'm crazy, I'm crazy for Christ. And therefore, I had made a decision. God touched my heart and he convinced me that I was the one to become a father to the fatherless, because he was much the chief parent, God himself, and he was the father to the fatherless in the world. And so I decided completely to give all everything that I had, the world, and the money, and even the vehicles, the properties that I sold, most of the things to move on, the money which was in the bank, I directed to help the poor. From that time, 1989, up to this day, 28 years, I've been working together with my wife, and we have more than 500 workers. It goes up to 1,300 at some time because we have a sustainability program that we plant vegetables for export to Europe. We also have a climate change initiative. We have also schools for all the children over 3,256 children.
And many of these students, I understand, Dr. Mulley, are graduating and becoming doctors and lawyers.
Yes, over 12,000 children over the last 28 years, they have graduated from Mulley Children's Family, 12,000, and with their degrees in medicine, law, engineer, social work, and all kinds of work that you can mention. They have become game changers, transformers of other areas where they have gone in their own communities in Kenya, in Africa, and now we have also a few others across the world, like in Australia, Canada, Germany. I have also six girls there who have just completed their studies in medicine, in nursing, and here in the United States, one who has completed his studies in engineering. And so it has become the world's largest family, whereby the children are given that, you know, opportunity to articulate their talent through music, through sports, and the education. And that's where the strength of MCF is, training them how to love the Lord, to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and that we have been so much blessed to have all this. It has never been really easy. We are coming across the challenges, but these challenges come really to sharpen us and to make us better for the Lord. And my prayer is that the people in the world, they get this vision so that they can help one child at a time, be like Mulley.
Yes.
And help all these over 16,000 children, but you can help even one to adopt or to foster or sponsor a child through an organization which is reputable, and we can change our world one child at a time.
Yes, Dr. Mulley, thank you so much. And let's remind our friends that we're visiting with Dr. Charles Mulley. The movie Mulley is coming to Memphis October 3rd through the 5th. You want to make plans to see it at the Paradiso Cinema in Memphis, the Malco Collierville Town Cinema 16, and also for our friends down in Oxford, Mississippi for the Oxford Commons, our friends in Little Rock, Arkansas, the Breckenridge 12. You can get group tickets, 25 or more, group rate tickets for 25 or more. You must see this film. Go see the movie trailer. The website is Mulley, M-U-L-L-Y, movie.com. There's the movie trailer there. There's downloads for social media promotion. I encourage you to do that. You must go see Mulley, the movie. It's all about what we're sharing, coming to the screen. It was actually filmed, Dr. Mulley, there in Kenya.
Yes, this movie was filmed in Kenya about this is the 4th year now. And now it will be launched, as you have said, on that 4th and 5th October. And I would like to ask each and every person to come to attend those theaters, over 800 theaters across this country in America. And then you'll be really blessed. You'll never be the same. So come, buddy. I invite you to come to attend.
Do you play yourself in the movie?
Yes, I have. I went from the beginning to the end. It is me and my wife also. She's the one you see that. And even my children, my own biological children, they've been so much involved when we made this movie.
Do you believe the movie Mulley accurately describes your journey to help the people of Kenya? And if so, what do you like most about the movie?
What I like the most of the movie, about many other things, is that to really catch up the hearts of the people, to even to understand, to know the Lord as He is the Savior of the world. He is the one who molds the people, who created us, and He is full of mercy. that he is able to change our life from our destination. He is the one who has got the key for our success, for our life, for our future. And I would like to see that God be glorified, be honored through my life, and that many, many, many people will be changed, will know how to forgive. When you forgive somebody, then that is a beginning of great things ahead. Reconciliation with your family, your wife, your husband, your children, everybody. That is the key. And that can only come through Christ Jesus. And again, through the movie, movie.com, then you can be able to learn more and to listen to the voice of the Lord through the movie.
Dr. Moley, what have you discovered about following Jesus with all of your heart?
Following Jesus with all my heart, it means that not leaning on my own understanding, not depending on my own wisdom, but depending on the grace of God being guided fully. And I always believe that it is only through Jesus Christ that we can have eternal life, where we can have full and complete salvation of Jesus Christ. He has been my friend. I have seen many miracles. In the fact, also in the movie, you see big miracle. One of it, the water, fountain of water from like a desert, from very dry area, being shown. And so I have discovered that Jesus is the way. Jesus is the light of the world, and no one also can come to the Father God without passing through Jesus. And so I embrace Jesus, the Son of God, our God, who liveth and who created this world, who created us in his own image.
God bless you, my dear brother. Thank you, Dr. Charles Moley, for allowing God to use your story and bring it to the movie screen so that other people can be impacted, be challenged, and engage the life of those who have less than they do. Share that good news of Jesus Christ. Again, friends, don't forget Molly the Movie, coming for a limited engagement to the Memphis area, October 3 through 5. You must attend. Bring your friends, bring your church groups to the Paradiso Cinema in Memphis, Malco Collierville Town Cinema 16, the Oxford Commons in Oxford, Mississippi, and the Breckenridge 12 at Little Rock, Arkansas. Group tickets, 25 or more, special rates for there. You can go to the website, Molly, M-U-L-L-Y, movie.com, and order your tickets ahead of time. And I encourage you to do that. Please do that. Dr. Charles Molly, God bless you, my dear brother. Thank you again for being our guest today on Mid-South Viewpoint.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me in your radio interview. I take it as a great honor, and I will be praying for you, my dear brother, and look forward one day that we shall meet again. Thank you, and goodbye.